Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And welcome into our Straight Talk broadcast for this Friday afternoon. Stephen Stone sitting in for my friend Manning Kimmel. He'll be back with you Tuesday as we head into a long Memorial Day holiday weekend. Our broadcast brought to you by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And by Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And as always, we're brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders, and our streaming provided by HighSpeedWeb.net, where we broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road, Rock Hill, across from Winston University. Interesting program today. It's going to be split into halves. In our first half, we have the Republican candidate for South Carolina Senate seat number 16, Kristen Blanchard, is with us, and good afternoon. How are you?
Thank you. How are you? I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Listen, let me ask the obvious question. What would possess a nice, sane person like you to run for a public office?
Well, I believe strongly in that we serve others. You know, we have time, talent, and treasures that we're to use for a purpose and a plan. And for me, I've served in a variety of capacities. Served with nonprofits. I've served in my church. I serve with my company, who's a Nutramax Laboratories, who's a manufacturing company. Been in business for 23 years, and now it's time to serve as a public representative. And that's what it is. It's actually a public servant. And too many times we've gotten politicians and people that go in for their own careers. That's not what I'm doing it for. I'm doing it for the people of the community in Lancaster, Fort Mill, Teugacay, Indian Land, because they need somebody that's going to represent them in Columbia, but also listen to them, help them with their problems, and interact with them. And I am a people person. I really enjoy people. This is very challenging with COVID, not being able to be face-to-face a great deal, but it's really about helping the people in our community.
All right. What are some of the biggest problems that you see for your district that you're running for to represent?
I would say with anything, it's going to always be people come back to roads, 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 growth, growth and roads. And where do you get the money? And so that's always an issue. I say the top three are roads, education, and public safety. But if somebody says the biggest thing is roads. Now, there's two things. It's with the growth areas where they may have to build more roads. And then you have the rural areas that their roads have just been ignored. And so there's a balancing act, and I would say what makes me different is I actually served as a Department of Transportation commissioner. I was appointed by the governor 2 years ago and went through a whole process, started in March of 2018 or May of 2018, and I continued to February of 2020, where I resigned to run for the seat.
Your county has had a very successful program called Pennies for Progress that I know you're more than familiar with. Have you at all considered something like that where you are?
Well, they, in Lancaster County, first of all, a little bit of history. I actually did live in Fort Mill for the first 8 years. And then last year, because I work right down in Lancaster, I wanted to get closer to Lancaster. So I moved to Lancaster at the end of last year. And because I understand both counties, I think gives me a unique perspective and also understand the roads. I also understand the funding system for the roads where it comes. There's local, state and federal money. The federal money is 50% of the road budget, which is huge. And what that means is 20% has to come from state to match that money. So they do everything to capitalize it. So what that does is it puts the counties in a position of doing a pennies for progress or a local option sales tax or a capital sales tax. So we don't have pennies in Lancaster, but we do have the 1 cent that's a capital sales tax project that goes for certain projects. The problem is we haven't put all that money towards roads. We put it towards other things and other needs.
Why has it gone toward other needs when it was earmarked to go toward roads?
Well, for the what they're using it for, it can be earmarked for various things. So it does go to roads, but it doesn't go to enough roads.
Nice loophole.
Well, and I think, honestly, what I saw at the DOT, I understand the processes in the system. I understand the procurement process and the letting process for contractors. I understand where things can be streamlined. And with everything with government being a fiscal conservative, there are ways to be much more efficient with our taxpayer money. And there's so much duplication, redundancy, and waste that goes on that if you cut that out and truly do an audit and say, this isn't doing anything. It's not solving any problems. It's not getting to the root of the problem. And it's just you're spinning your wheels with it. If you cut that, you're going to have the money. You don't have to necessarily raise taxes. You just need to be more efficient with the money that you have. And it is our money. It's our taxpayer money.
Right.
So you need to be a good steward of that money. And that is one thing that I'm very passionate about, is being a fiscal conservative and making sure that we're utilizing the money correctly.
What is your ambition for the first day on the job when you roll into Columbia as Senator Blanchard?
Honestly, represent the people. I mean, that's what it comes down to. But the reality is, the first day on the job in November, after it gets certified, the first part is going to be the Senate is going to get together, and they're going to decide their rules, they're going to pick their leadership, and they're going to pick committees.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody knows anything about the state Senate, all the work is done in the committees. Now, being low man a woman on the totem pole,
right.
it's going to be challenging to get the committee picks, but that's why you've got to be prepared and hit the ground running and be aware of what legislation is going to be filed, what are the most important things, where do you think you can use your time, talents, and treasures. And I believe that both, and whether I'll get it or not, but transportation, things like the where you're talking about business, anything with business, I think is critical, because I have 23 years in the manufacturing industry, and we started as a small business. So not only do I understand manufacturing, but I understand small business. And we know right now small business is getting hammered from our economy perspective. So we need people at the state Senate that have that experience. And actually, right now, the 46 senators, there is not one state senator that's worked in the manufacturing industry. Not one.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So it definitely separates me apart.
Okay. So, and the small business being hammered, I mean, would you not agree it's mostly from this pandemic that came from out of nowhere that no one could have ever seen coming, and, you know, now just getting things reopened and started back up, as you see around you, business is back. It's just going to take a little time.
Yeah, it is. Thank God our economy was where it was when we got into this.
Right.
But there's a couple of things. I believe strongly in our Constitution. Our Constitution was set up to protect the rights and our freedoms as individual and people. It's not for the government to have more power. It's actually to limit the government's power. I do think I understand why the government did what it did, but I will tell you, I think they are infringing on people's livelihood. And when you're a self-employed person, you don't have all the ability to get access to what the government is giving out right now. So people are hurting, and they're struggling, and they're frustrated, and that's not good. So we really need to create an environment. First of all, government does not create jobs. I'm going to repeat that. Government doesn't create jobs. We create jobs. The people create jobs. The entrepreneurial spirit, the American free enterprise system. Now, what the government's role is to create an environment to make sure it spurs that entrepreneur, whether it's regulatory, tax. And if we have that environment, then we're going to be able to encourage businesses to flourish. And that's what it's about. Now, again, that doesn't mean cutting corners, because you have to have certain laws and regulations to make sure people don't do things wrong. But at the same time, we've stifled small business, and that has to change. And we can't turn it and say, well, we'll just now tax more, because then the businesses are never going to come back.
No, that's good, because there are a number of that are not going to come back from this anyway, even before you get to that hurdle. Now, the Senate, South Carolina Senate, will be reconvening a little earlier because they have to put together a budget that did not happen before they adjourned. Okay, so right now what they're doing is just riding on what they previously have until they can get together and do this. You obviously will be a part of that walking through the door, I would think.
Well, it depends when they get back from the continuing resolution and whether they do it, but the budget process, that's a great question, because the whole budget process is broken. There are certain rules in the Senate and the House and the governor is supposed to follow. It's supposed to be a very transparent process, and it's not. And therefore, you really don't get the access to understand is where can we find things. The other thing with the budget process is when the agency's asked to submit their budget, and that usually is in September of the year before it gets introduced in January, There's a system in government where it comes down to, and it's not because the people are doing anything wrong, but it's always, well, okay, we have this much money, and we'll just add 10%. It's like you really have to dig down and say each agency needs to be challenged, just like it is in business. Where are we doing the things right? Where are we getting the best return on investment of the taxpayer money that's giving results to the people? And too many times there's this kind of complacency, well, we just have this money, we'll do this, and okay, when we don't have that money, we'll cut that. I really like to see more engagement. And you know what? People that work in government, and I'm not talking the leaders, but the people that work in government, where best to go? The people that do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they engage them in the process, which I think is a shame. So those are the kind of things you can do and encourage to try to become more lean in a way that we're being more effective with a cost-effective way, an efficiency.
South Carolina was in the enviable position where they had a budget surplus before all this happened. Now that surplus is not going to be anywhere what they had hoped or what they thought it was going to be. How big of a high wire act do you think that's going to be coming back?
It is huge, because what nobody ever talks about either is our unfunded liabilities and our debt. And that is a problem. I mean, we have pension, we have the Santee Cooper and the fiasco with the nuclear plant. There is so much unfunded liabilities and debt that nobody talks about. And then what I hear instead is when they have a billion surplus, they're like, gosh, it's really hard to spend $1 billion. And I'm thinking, that's not the way to approach this. So we have got to be much more efficient. We've got to take that money and, first of all, question, why do we have that much money in the first place? We tax way too much in South Carolina, and it's income, it's a hospitality, it's the local pennies. I mean, the way our whole structure is broken, so there's really not true tax reform, so you're nickel and diming everybody. We need to consolidate that and make it more fair and even, where it's not you're trying to nickel and dime everybody. It's just not fair to people. And when you start adding it up, it adds up. We're eating at a restaurant. Many places you're going to pay 10% between all the different taxes.
A friend of mine showed me a receipt, of course, does not live in South Carolina, but went to a restaurant recently, the past week or two, since they're able to do that again. At the very bottom, he saw something called a COVID tax, a surcharge because of the COVID pandemic and the impact that it's had, you know.
And that's what happens, is the businesses will pass it on to the consumer, so it's a domino effect. Mm-hmm. And speaking of domino effect, is one thing I really want to get a point across is the supply chain. We have not seen anything yet. Being in the food, nutrition, pharmaceutical area where it's FDA regulated, we understand supply chain. I understand how one cog in that wheel goes down, everything goes down. You know, we see shortages in meat. We see shortages in milk. I mean, and what do they do with that? And then it affects byproducts. It would make, you know, think corn. Corn creates so much that people don't realize. And understanding that supply chain is critical, whereas a lot of people maybe not understand it. And I think that gives me a unique perspective.
I think it's a very unique perspective, especially where Ralph Norman, the congressman, was on the other morning talking that the economy will come back, but it may take a while for that supply chain to get back up and running like it was barreling through, say, as recent as February, early March.
Yeah. And we keep talking about how, you know, everybody talks about that they want the manufacturing to come back and our supply chain and stop reliance on foreign suppliers. But a lot of them have the talking points, but they don't have the practical experience. I have that practical experience. I mean, we lived it, breathed it, eat it. Especially when you're a small business, you're doing it all. I mean, contract negotiation, understand how the global food supply and nutrition supply, for example, vitamin C, critical nutritional supplement. It comes primarily only from China. They pretty much have everything on it. You talk about rare earth minerals, everything that goes in our phones and technology, China.
Yeah.
And we're completely relying upon them. And that's something that people need to understand, and the practicality of it, where I think I can provide some much-needed insight, and not as a politician, but as somebody who has actually lived it and understand it. And that's important.
In the final minute that you and I have together, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk directly to the voters who are going to be voting in this election here, and you can sort of make your case, so to speak.
Absolutely. I think the biggest thing is I am not a politician. I'm doing this to serve the people of the district. And I plan to listen. I plan to interact. I mean, it is a job of an elected official to make sure they're communicating with their constituents and telling them what is going on in Columbia and make sure you understand how it impacts them and tell them. You also have to help them. Just literally having somebody that they can call up and say, hey, can you help me? Understanding small businesses is so critical, and being able to get down right down to where it needs to be. The road systems, understanding the transportation system is critical. Manufacturing is critical. But I'd say more than anything is I'm not doing this to be a politician. I'm not doing this for a career. I have a great career. I'm doing this to serve the people. And unfortunately, there are some candidates that are going very negative, and I'd say one candidate in particular. It's been almost embarrassing seeing such a false and misleading ad that is very distasteful in his own words, running on Fox News nonstop. I saw it this morning, and it is completely, utterly false. And it's done in a derogatory manner to slander my character. So I am encouraging everybody to please go to Blanchard for Senate Facebook page. Two nights ago, I put out a video, and I shared information about why, one, it's false, so people know I'm not just saying it's false. I have information on why it's false. And two, why would this person do this? And it was because he basically had asked me not to run because he wanted the seat for 8 years as a conservative, and he'd give it back to Lancaster after 8 years, and he finished his term because it's important to some people down there. That's a politician, and this is somebody that says they want to clean things up. So I do encourage people to go see who I am, and please educate yourself before you get out to vote. You can vote up to June 9th, and then there is a runoff that likely will happen with four people. You have to vote June 9th in order to vote June 23rd. But I just encourage people to call me, go to my Facebook page, learn more about me, and I really do want to talk to people because I think that's the best way you can answer questions directly. So I just appreciate the time for being here, and I appreciate the time to hopefully serve the people of this district.
All right. She is Kristen Blanchard, Republican candidate for South Carolina Senate seat number 16. And as she says, you can go to her Facebook page, Blanchard for Senate. We're going to take our mid-program break. Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. Here with Founders and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. We broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, home of fresh subs and salads made right before your very eyes on Cherry Road across from Winthrop. The magical way they do this, Blanchard, is
slice, garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Applying for and adding financial products and services at Founders Federal Credit Union has never been easier. Founders Online gives you the option to add accounts, apply for loans, apply for a credit card, and sign up for account alerts, all in just a few steps and from the comfort of your home. Visit FoundersFCU.com to enroll your account today. Not a Founders member? Visit RelaxJoinFounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke. Those things are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway. And it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people. I like the food and being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
Okay. And welcome back into our Straight Talk show for this Friday afternoon as we get ready for Memorial Day weekend. Joining us now at part two of our program today is Jerome Triple. Did I say it right?
That was cool, Steve. It's
Jeremy would have to be Jerome Triple from the American Red Cross, along with Judith Ross. And, of course, they have an upcoming blood drive and are also serving our veterans. And, you know, we're going into Memorial Day weekend. That is a tribute to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice that did not come back, as opposed to Veterans Day, where we hug and kiss our veterans and thank them, as we should do every day anyway.
That's right.
But let's talk about the upcoming blood drive, because that's very, very important.
Okay.
Either one, however we want to go.
All right, Stephen. Well, first of all, thank you for this time. We are very grateful. I represent the Rock Hill chapter on Piedmont, Red Cross in Piedmont Hospital, the Red Cross there. And Judith represents the Charlotte chapter off Park Road. And so we're combining together. We're both in the Veterans Department, and I just have a passion for them. I was in the Air Force, and I'm just very passionate and getting the resources and the benefits that they need and are requesting. I found out that when you say the word Red Cross to somebody, the first thing that comes to their mind is a blood drive or a disaster relief. And I'm trying to get the word back out that it's about our veterans and helping the community.
So, all right. Well, the obvious question then is, how can folks do that? I mean, just show up and give blood?
Well, that's one thing. We do take walk-ins.
Yes, we do. We take walk-ins at certain chapters that are set up that way. And, for instance, our chapter in Charlotte is set up as a blood donor chapter. And they screen people before they go in to give blood. Everybody who walks in, our temperature is taken immediately, and they ask questions. So they're set up for that. We're also dealing with doing blood drives at various places like schools and churches and things like that, wherever we can have social distancing along with doing the blood drive. So we're all prepared for that. And, of course, we're making sure that people are socially distanced, that they are healthy. And right now it's very important, especially with the factor that hospitals and doctors are now opening to do elective surgery, that we get even more blood in for those types of surgeries that are coming up.
There's been a shortage for some time, hasn't there?
We actually in Charlotte have been okay. I mean, and they have programs now that are getting the blood services more actively because of how things are changing in the communities and everything.
Well, how is your service to the Armed Forces Group dealing with the military right now? I mean, and thank you for your service, by the way, Jerome.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're welcome. Yes, you're welcome, Stephen. And you'd be surprised how many people are coming to donate here in York County and Mecklenburg County. We are getting a good handful.
Great.
To the churches and everything as well, opening their doors. So currently, in regards to the outreach that we have for our military armed forces with the Red Cross in this Greater Carolina region. We're not doing advance right now. We usually do events, and we'll do luncheons anywhere that's open, or say the National Reserve,
right?
The Guard here in Rock Hill. But at this time, we can't do that. Veterans are calling in for resources and assistance.
Our casework programs are still operating 24/7. And I do MEPS every week at the recruiting station in the Charlotte area, which people come from all over the state to that station. That's their last stop before they go to boot camp. So we get those cards. We contact the families of every one of those new service members to see how everything is doing. And then, of course, we have the events such as the pre- and post-deployments. We can't do them now, but we are doing resiliency courses virtually now for families, caregivers, and service members.
You mentioned in the outset to our segment here, Judith, about American Red Cross is usually one of the first things you think of when emergency situations hit, and you alluded to hurricane season, which is right around the corner,
yes.
Just a week away when it all begins, and we had a story this morning that this could be one of the more memorable hurricane seasons coming up.
Yes.
So it leads to the obvious question that, you know, how do you meet these challenges, you know, during a hurricane season, let's just say, as far as aiding families with needs like housing, food, and other resources during those times, in spite of a pandemic that is obviously hamstringing you all?
Well, the Red Cross always works under the premise that we don't know what's going to happen today, so they're always ready every day for whatever's going to come at us. But with the pandemic and everything, they're reaching out to places now to see where they could do, you know, shelters for people if we do have major hurricanes that affect our area. We would have to be looking at shelters that could handle at least 50 people so that we could have appropriate social distancing and so that we could have appropriate resources for cleaning and things like that within the facility, restroom facilities, etc. Also, we are looking at the factor that food would have to be prepackaged food. Think of your Lean Cuisines and your Stouffer's type of food, or MREs that the military uses, that you can then pop into a microwave and hand it to the person fully packaged so that they personally open it up to eat it. So these are things that we're looking into. How are we going to shelter for at least 50 people where we have social distancing, whereas maybe that same facility before held 150 to 200 people? So those things are all in the works now.
It's the further hamstringing of the pandemic, you know, essentially in doing what you have done, you know, without, you know, interruption forever. And now it's a whole new ball game for you. Wow, what a thing to overcome.
We have a fabulous disaster department, and that's their every day. That's what they're working on, is how are we going to handle things that come our way.
Jerem?
One point I'd like to make that Judith said earlier, we are looking for volunteers all the time. I actually, when I'm doing my veterans work, I also am a blood donor ambassador, which means I screen people, I register people in here at the Rock Hill chapter for donors that are coming in. And we're in need of that as well.
Well, how do folks get in touch with you in the brief amount of time, unfortunately, that we have left? How can they get in touch? Someone wants to donate, someone wants to volunteer, and or both?
Yes, sir. That's a good question. Obviously, you can go to our website.
Redcross.org.
Redcross.org.
Click on volunteer. And you then can sign in and sign up to be a volunteer, and somebody will contact you, and eventually the local office that you're interested in working at will then get back in touch with you and talk to you about what your interests are.
So the website again?
www.redcross.org.
Okay, and then there's a tab that says volunteer, and they click that, and away you go.
Yes, sir, there's an icon on the website there. You can also call at 803-329-6575 and contact someone there at the Rock Hill chapter or ask for me, and I can direct them.
How severe is this need right now? You mentioned volunteers. I mean, we know giving blood, you can never do that enough, but the need for volunteers.
It's extremely important. To give you an example, I'm the leadership partner as a volunteer to the Red Cross staff member for service to the armed forces, and I do about 6 different jobs. So,
wow. You could use a little help, I think.
Yes. And we have 51 chapters in our region, 4 of which are in South Carolina. So it's a big territory to run and operate and to make sure that everybody has the things that they need to do their volunteer jobs.
Okay, very good. AmericanRedCross.org.
Yes.
Very important, folks. Write that down. We got about 30 seconds remaining here, I think, before we...
The one thing is to also to remember for service members and their families that our emergency hotline is always active 24/7. And you can call at any time, and we will assist you in any way that we possibly can.
What is that number?
877-272-7337.
All right. Judith, Jerem, we appreciate it. Unfortunately, our time has run out on us here. We're just getting warmed up.
Thank you, Stephen.
We appreciate it. Straight Talk, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. Here with Founders and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. We broadcast live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, across from Winthrop University, home of fresh subs and salads made right before your eyes. How they do it, American Red Cross? Slice, slice, slice.
Slice, garden, garden, garden.
South Carolina's most honored radio station, News Talk 100.1 WRHI Rock Hill, W261 CY Rock Hill, the voice of your county.
An OTS media station.